It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros NFL Draft Show. My name is Derek Brown, and with me, as always, is the Minnesota Madman, Thor Nystrom. And on today's show, we're going to run through our draft betting card. Yes, we are going to discuss all the prop bets you need to be making for the NFL draft. All of these odds we're going to be pulling from bettingpros.com/draft odds. You can go there and you can peruse all of these lines as we roll through them. Before I bring Thor in here too, with saying all this, you need to be tailoring our picks on the Betting Pros app, as well as getting into the 2024 NFL Draft Prop Picks Challenge at Betting Pros. This contest will take place in the NFL Draft Props group on the Betting Pros app. So again, download the app on iOS or Android, wherever you need the app at. This is the leaderboard itself will be set up to track performance and showcase all the bets that are being placed. And as with all things, people love free stuff, man. Come on, Thor, we know this. So we will be giving away. So the way that you win the freebie stuff here, win the prizes here, top five listeners in ROI on the leaderboard, will, and the prizes will go as such. First place gets a year of Betting Pros and Fantasy Pros premium subscriptions. Second through fifth place all get $25 Betting Pros shop gift cards. I'm telling you right now, all the swag is lit. The hoodies are comfy as hell. Again, how to enter? You download the Betting Pros app, go to bettingpros.com/draft, and click the button to join the group. Either use your login with the draft props or via quick picks or sync your bets in the app. So either of these approaches will count. So you can either make quick picks or use sync on iOS. Now, only sync is available for Android. You have to make a minimum of 5 bets to enter. Monitor the draft board to see where you're at. Again, download the Betting Pros app. Visit bettingpros.com/draft and join the group and make your picks. Got to make 5 to get in this. All right, Thor. Look, I just talked about a lot of things and stuff, man. It's all lit, though, baby. Over on BP, looking at all these odds, we're going to roll through it today, man. Are you ready for all this?
Yeah, I sure am. Yeah, we are, T-minus 10 days away from the NFL Woo! Draft. So it's starting to heat up. And yeah, like you mentioned on the Betting Pros app, we have all the betting, the NFL draft props. So, I mean, those markets are moving. Debra, you and I have hit several of these, back a little bit. So we have tickets in pocket. We're going to talk about those, and we're going to specifically be giving out our advice for the odds as they stand right now. So let's get into it.
Yeah, man. Look, we talked about this. We teased a lot of this stuff, at least about the quarterbacks, on the first ever episode of this show. And if you were there, you already knew, and hopefully you placed the bets for the second overall pick. At that time, we were telling you at Plus Money to bet Jane Daniels. So I hope some people got in there, man. But let's kick this off, dude. Again, heading over to bettingpros.com. The second overall pick odds are up. Now, Jane Daniels, the guy we were talking about when it opened and he was plus money, has now moved to minus 200. So there's obviously no juice worth to squeeze there, Thor. But Drake May sits at plus 210. JJ McCarthy, our boy, sits at plus 1300. What else, if anything, excites you for the second overall pick? Are you getting any more action on this?
So for me, most of my action has been done on this. You know, we talked Same. About this. I'm looking at a thread I put out on Twitter right after we did that other episode, February 21st, where the thread was Drake May should not be favored to go number two overall. And I went into it at that time. He was minus 150 favorite. Drake May was to go number two overall. Right now he is, it looks like plus 210 is the best, you know, the best odds that you can get on him. The argument I made in there was Jaden Daniels should be the favorite and JJ McCarthy it was the long shot guy. The odds on both have obviously flipped at this point. Jaden Daniels at -2 to 1. I don't think you can bet that anymore. You know, when obviously when you were getting plus money on that, it was a good deal, but no longer. The only one that I could see betting at this point is if you didn't wet your beak on McCarthy at the more juice odds. There was the report, you know, going back to the NFL owner meetings where Pelissero went around and pulled different NFL executives. And he said the majority of the answers he got for who was Washington, who did they think Washington was going to take a number two, that the majority of the answers that he got was J.J. McCarthy. Doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. But, you know, in that thread and on our previous podcast, I mentioned that I thought J.J. McCarthy was a tailor-made fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense. If they weren't going to get Caleb Williams, who Cliff Kingsbury worked with last year at USC, that I thought J.J. McCarthy was the best fit for that offense. Now, Jaden Daniels is coming off this historic season in college football, so you wouldn't begrudge them whatsoever for taking him. It makes total sense to me that Jaden Daniels is the favorite there. But at 13 to 1, that would for McCarthy, that would be the one where there's any value whatsoever to wet your beak on.
Yeah, I agree, man. We were telling people out in February to be betting Jaden Daniels. He's moved to the favorite. That doesn't surprise anybody on this show. Moving over to the third overall pick, it looks like Drake May is out there with even odds right now. You can get, and again, we're using all of the draft odds we're going to be talking about in this entire show are immediately on bettingpros.com/draft odds. So right now, I mean, you got to be shopping all these lines, Thor. You could still get even money for Drake May at the third overall pick at Bet Rivers. But a lot of other places, he's gone to, I mean, the juice is definitely there. Like, he's minus 125, minus 130 in a lot of spots. So I'm not touching Drake May at third overall, but you can still interest me at, like, even money. I'm talking, like, a unit or something, nothing crazy. I think the more interesting guy, if we're going to be putting the money there, again, looking at who could go third overall to the New England Patriots, there's a lot of stuff coming in about like maybe the New England Patriots are sniffing around J.J. McCarthy. He's at plus 400 and Jaden Daniels is at plus 300. There's obviously the receivers are a little bit further down the board there. Marvin Harrison is at plus 2000 and Malik Nabers is at plus 8000. I'm not in on betting the receivers here, but you could interest me on a little bit of action for Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy here. Although, I mean, look, these have moved at least a decent amount. So, I mean, actually, Jaden Daniels has moved in the other direction. He's gone at the open at plus 180 to now plus 300. So if you wanted to hedge, if you got in late, you wanted to hedge on Jaden Daniels, I get that. But any action you're taking here, Thor?
Well, yeah, Jaden's gone up. The odds have gone up because, of course, mm-hmm. his odds to go number two have gone the other way. For me, you know, like the way that I attacked this board starting in February when these things started to trickle out was it was pretty simple. Fade Drake May as a top three pick. Mm-hmm. And so my action is on the second and third pick. It is heavily on both Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy in any iteration. The reports out of New England that you hear, they do go all over the place, but we've heard quite a bit that they like Jaden Daniels. So I think it'd be a pretty quick pick if Washington does go with someone else. So, you know, that could justify the 3 to 1. It's 3 to 1 if Daniels doesn't go second, because then he's going to go third. And then McCarthy, I mean, I would put it this way. Are the odds four times better that New England takes Drake May than J.J. McCarthy? I don't think so. You know, based on what we've heard and then based on our own analysis of these prospects, I don't know. I don't know about that. So, like, to me, that those odds should be closer. I have action on, like I said, McCarthy and Daniels to go third, as I do both them to go second. So that's what I'd advocate here too.
So I will say the plus 400 is at Bet Rivers. All the other books are anywhere between like plus 200 to plus 250. So I would get the action at Bet Rivers, but the rest of it, like, I mean, you're talking about at DraftKings.
Very good point. Yes.
Plus 200. I wouldn't be touching that, but if you could still get the action on Bet Rivers at plus 400, I think it's a viable bet.
Yeah, that's the one where you have to. And D-Bro, that's a great point to people out there. You have to shop the lines.
Have to.
Especially on these draft props where the juice vacillates so much depending on the book that you're looking at. I mean, you made the point right there about, you know, for instance, that and you guys can see all this. I don't mean to keep going back and pushing our app, but it's really good for the line shopping in particular.
Oh, it's wonderful.
The difference between the if you bet it at Bet Rivers and, for instance, ESPN Bet, it's plus 200. So the same $100 bet, you're losing half your money if you would bet that at ESPN Bet as opposed to Bet Rivers. And I'm not, it just depends on which prop you're doing. But in this example, you would want to bet Rivers if you're going to go McCarthy at three.
Yeah, I agree, man. And moving over to the fourth overall pick, I think the obvious, and this is not going to surprise anybody, Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting with the heavily, heavily juiced odds at minus 175, as high as minus 200 at some places. Moving down the board, you could still get plus 400 odds on J.J. McCarthy being the fourth overall pick, which in looking at the outs for Arizona, this is one of the possible trade-up candidates for Minnesota or any other team coming up for a quarterback. So for me, it comes down to really, like, I don't think Jane Daniels is going to be on the board at the fourth overall pick. So the fact that he's plus 1,500, I don't care about. The ones that stand out to me, if you wanted to get action on this, is either J.J. McCarthy at plus 400, which you really got to, again, talking about line shopping, he's plus 300, plus 400 on a few different books. Other ones, he's only plus 150, so I would not take action there on J.J. McCarthy. Drake May is plus 900. In some books, over on Caesars, he's plus 900 to go fourth overall. If I can get the plus 400 on JJ, I would sprinkle some action there or with Drake May. But honestly, looking at this and the likely outcomes here, it's probably JJ, or I'm probably just staying away from this. But what do you think, Thor?
This is one that is a stay away for me, because I think that Marvin Harrison Jr.'s price is fair where it is right now. You know, the almost 2-1. Or 2-1 at most of these books. And then, you know, of course, it's Marvin Harrison Jr. against the trade down possibility. But the issue there, I think, is I think that this pick is cost prohibitive in terms of draft equity to the teams that are actually in play here. The Broncos can't pony that up. I don't think Las Vegas wouldn't be in the – I don't think Las Vegas would have the prerogative unless the scenario that Jaden Daniels was here. Obviously, Antonio Pierce brought him to Las Vegas. I think that's the only, you know, scenario where they would make a truly YOLO offer. And then, of course, Minnesota, the team where, you know, all spring everyone's been mocking them as the trade-up team. I don't think that they're going to give the three first-round picks that Monty Austin-Fort is going to be demanding for this, and maybe even more. So for me, I think that Arizona ends up staying here, and I think it's going to be Harrison, but with where that price is, I can't bet that.
The only other thing that I'll say here, too, can I interest you and just talking about – because we know how crazy the NFL draft gets, and we have heard some rumors that some teams, I'm not saying that Arizona definitively has this, but we have heard rumblings that some teams have Malik Nabers as their wide receiver one on their boards. So really, honestly, the more that I stare at this, Thor, if I were to bet this at all, I think the way that I would probably go is the plus 1700 on Malik Nabers. I mean, what do you think about that?
You could. I would still be pretty surprised if Malik Nabers ended up going over Marvin Harrison.
I suppose, would be too.
You know, at 17-1, you know, if you want to do a pizza money bet on it.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, this is more just fun and like taking the long shot. Yeah. Like this would not be in my primary betting card. Like if you're doing the contest on Betting Pros, if you're just swinging from the heels, then fine. But again, this is probably just mostly a stay away. Just talking about hedging some here.
Yeah, and I think we got some better long shot bets coming up.
Agreed. So moving over to the fifth overall pick. So again, looking at what team is going to be in the spot for this fifth pick. Is this the spot that gets the trade up? Are the Chargers the team that move back? Or do they stay and pick? And looking at these odds, I mean, right now Malik Nabers is the favorite right now, plus 275. Marvin Harrison is at plus 300. So really, it's funny because you see all the conviction with Marvin Harrison going fourth overall, but then it's like, well, then shouldn't Malik Nabers be the guy? Like, if the Chargers stick and pick here, then shouldn't he be a little bit more favored than what he is at plus 275? But it looks like people are kind of hedging there. J.J. McCarthy's at plus 470. That bet makes some sense. Now, again, he's as low as only plus 250 on some books. But for me, if you're going to get action on this and looking, and you're betting on two outcomes for me for the Chargers, possibly three, sticking and picking or trading. If they stick and pick, I think it's probably Nabers or Alt here. So looking at those two options, but the Nabers stuff, I mean, he's plus 200 on a lot of books, so I'm probably out on that. I might wet my beak on a little bit of Joe Alt at plus 475. Although there are better odds we're going to talk about here in a little bit. If you're going to make Joe Alt bets that we could possibly be making here. But for me, Thor, it's probably looking at the plus 470 for J.J. McCarthy or maybe a little bit of alt action here. What do you think?
This is the slot where there's value. And a part of that comes because there's stuff up in the air with it. You know, of course, right now you look down the best odds column, you know, Nabers being plus 275 is the quote unquote favorite, tells you all you need to know about that. Here would be my thing with that. The guy who just took over that franchise, you really think he's going to stick and pick and use that first pick on a wide receiver? What about his history suggests that he would do that? He's a guy who fetishizes offensive line play, and that's the way he builds it up. And all he could talk about at the owner meeting was, I can't wait to get started building up my offensive line. It's literally all he could talk about there. Does that mean that they will take an offensive lineman in this slot? No, I think that they could also trade back. So the thing that I would be fading is the couple favorites here. I love Nabers as much as anyone else. I love Odunze as well. And I think that both of them would be values here. And of course, the Chargers do need wide receivers. But in addition to the context I just gave about Harbaugh's prerogative, keep in mind as well, day two is absolutely stacked with wide receivers. And that team and that organization is going to know that dang well. An organization that is going to be led by the foot of building up the trenches first, you can get immediate plug-and-play starting receivers on day two of this draft. So for me, where I would be looking with this one, it's the offensive lineman under the idea that they stick and pick, i.e. Joe Alt. I have Joe Alt in my portfolio. I think the ones I got, it was plus 500, and it's, you can still get a DK, you can still get 475, it looks like, and then some other books, it's either plus 400, plus 450. It would either be that or else the trade down possibility. You mentioned McCarthy is 470. I'll tell you the other one. We were talking about long shots before. You want to shoot a half court shot on this one? It would be Drake May at plus 2,500 because this scenario is very easy. It's very easy to see. It's you know, you go, it's Caleb one, Jaden two, McCarthy goes three, Marvin Harrison goes four. And now Josh McCown, who coached Drake May in high school, is pounding on the table. Kevin O'Connell, who desperately needs a quarterback, is pounding on the table. And Kwesi sitting there like, okay, guys, okay, I'll make the call, right? And we know that Denver, you know, that LA is going to take that call. They're not trading with the Chargers, or they're not trading with the Broncos, they're not trading with the Raiders. So that would be the possibility of Drake May going in the fifth slot. I think that there's better odds of that than the 25-1 shot right now. But like I said, for me, it would be Alt, May, or you could go McCarthy as well at plus 470. Those would be the three values for me on this board.
Yeah, I agree, man. Plus 2,500 on Bet Rivers. I still would take the action on May on other books. I'm seeing anywhere from plus 1,400 to plus 1,600. But I like that call. It's a real sharp call, man. Moving over to... who will be the first running back drafted? And we got a few first positional drafted we're going to cover here, Thor. But start kicking this off with first running back off the board. The two favorites right now are Trey Benson at plus 210, Jonathan Brooks at plus 250. They are lower odds. The both of those you could find at a few different books of the plus 200. But there's also a lot of other spots where they're plus 150. Blake Corum is plus 500 odds to be the first running back. I'm not betting that. I mean, I'm also not betting the other two top guys. Like, their odds haven't moved that much, but I just don't see there's a lot of value in either one of those numbers, Thor. Looking at, I mean, they open at plus 250 and plus 290, so it's not like they're screaming up the board or anything. It's kind of like people don't know what to do with this market. I think you're going to be with me on one of these guys. I think the top two bets for me on first running back drafted is either going to be Jalen Wright at plus 500, and you can get his odds anywhere from plus 500 to the lowest I'm seeing is plus 370. I still think that's viable. Or my dude, Marshawn Lloyd, who the odds are anywhere from plus 500 to plus 800, but it's either Jalen Wright or Marshawn Lloyd are where I think the value is here, Thor. But what do you think?
Yeah, I was on VSIN with Tim Murray. Well, I don't know, it was a month ago when the running back ones dropped. Yeah, on VSIN primetime, and they asked me about the running back one. And at that time, Jonathan Brooks was the favorite. And I said that Trey Benson should be. That is obviously flipped in the market to this point. And now it's Benson, you know, goes from the 250 to the plus 210. It is there value there still? It's to me. You could still bet that, I think.
You could bet it, but it's not screaming at me.
Not a go wild value one. The ROI, you've gotten tighter on it for sure. Brooks was the guy I was fading for that. I could end up being wrong, but it was a guy who had a sample of 10 games that were good. We didn't see his testing profile, and speed appeared to not be a strong suit of his. So for all those reasons, I'm fading him as RB1. And I agree with you, DeBro, on Jalen Wright. I'm actually surprised that his odds, it looks like it opened at 290. And now, well, some books, you know, it's 370. But like the best odds you can get either at FanDuel or BetRivers at 5-1 right now. To me, that's where the value is. This kid is young. Lots of tread on the tires. Some of our listeners DM me and said that I was saying that the opposite way the last time I was talking about it.
I remember when we got hit with that. It's like, wait, okay. We're saying he has tread left, okay? It's tread not gone. Left.
Yes. Yeah, you know, a guy that didn't have a ton of usage in college because of the rotation that they were in, but last year broke out, has the receiving utility, has the 4.3 wheels, has the 98th percentile size-adjusted athleticism. I know that Jalen Wright is getting intense interest from a sect of teams. There are some specific teams that like him a whole dang lot. And for fantasy players out there that are listening to this, obviously we have a lot of those, D-Bro. The Dallas Cowboys would be the most interesting landing spot of those. And on draft day for the fantasy players and the dynasty players, that's you're paying attention to who Dallas drafts, because whoever that becomes at running back, they get prioritized. But Jalen Wright for me at if you can get the 5-1, if you're on FanDuel, that would be probably the best one. But for me, the other one is Benson.
Yeah. And I'm going to stick with my dude, Marshawn Lloyd. I'm just not going to get off of that. There have been talks, or at least rumors out there in the ether, that he's the RB1 on some boards. So I think that there is value there. But moving over to first wide receiver drafted, there's just not a lot of action here for me, Thor. Marvin Harrison is minus 500. That's dropped. It actually opened at minus 1,000, which, whatever. Malik Nabers is at plus 400. Roma Dunze is at plus 3,000. I mean, really, if you wanted to hedge Marv being the first guy, I get it. Like at the plus 400, you could sprinkle that into your portfolio. But for me, this is probably just a market I'm just staying away. What do you think?
Yes to that. And I think that the bigger takeaway here is Roma Dunze, a guy who could have declared for the last draft, would have been a first round pick, and would have been in play to be wide receiver one in that class. he took the jump this year where he's now a better prospect than he was he would have been heading into last year's draft. But if he had gone into that class, he would have been picked somewhere where those four receivers went, and he might have even led the dance of that. One year later, he is 30-1 to be the wide receiver one in this class. It just shows you the caliber of receiver that Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and then also Malik Nabers and this ridiculous wide receiver class that we're sitting on. But as far as the betting odds, this isn't bettable. I expect Harrison Jr. to be the first pick, amongst the receivers, of course. I'm just not the one that can wet my beak on Malik Nabers as the first receiver. I would have to believe that to see it.
I mean, I've got him as my wide receiver one, but for me, so I believe that there's a world where that can happen. But at these odds, I'm not willing to sit here and lay a lot with it. Like, there's just better bets on the board to make. But moving over to another market where I don't have a lot of interest in, Thor. We want to bring this up for the people out there, both the bets they need to be targeting and also discussing some of these markets where there's no value in. And the first cornerback drafted market, I just don't have a lot of love for, man. Like Quinyon Mitchell, I think we're in agreement. He's our CB1 this year. He's at -170. Terrion Arnold, even if you wanted to hedge that, it's not enticing enough. He's only +165, +150. You can get him at DK at +195. I think I put maybe like a one unit bet on Terrion Arnold, but it was not the first cornerback drafted, because we're going to discuss later where it is. But what are your thoughts on this one? I think it's probably just to stay away from me.
Yeah, this is probably a stay away. The only one, if you're a Terrion Arnold
Cooper,
guy,
if you're going to bring up Cooper, I can't see him going over these other two guys. Can you?
No. And you know how big of a guy.
I know you love Cooper. That's why I was like, yeah, if you're going to go there, I can't see it.
No. I would be stunned if he ended up being the first cornerback off the board, as much as I love him. I could see a team taking Arnold over Quinyon. Arnold is the technique and the back pedal and the willingness to come up and support and run defense. It's like, he's going to have a lot of fans in the coaching room that are going to be banging the table for him. But Quinyon, the evaluators, the decision makers, the guys that project it forward, I just find it hard to believe that they're going to end up eschewing that for a guy like Arnold. Quinyon, just, he checks all the boxes with the 4.3 speed. And then what he did in Mobile, D-Bro, like that, because that was the one question of like, yeah, sure, he dominated in the MAC, but like, and we did see him, sporadically. We saw him one time against Marvin Harrison Jr., for instance. Toledo, every now and again, would jump up in competition, but he went down to the Senior Bowl and shut everyone's lights out. So I do believe he will be the first cornerback off the board. But this one, with where the odds board sits, is not bettable for me.
Yeah, I agree. Now, moving over to one that both of us are hammering right now, Thor, total quarterbacks drafted in round one. I think you are riding with me on this, in that the market has this wrong. Right now, with all the steam on Bo Nix and Michael Penix going round one, the under 4.5 quarterbacks. So basically, we're saying the only guys that get into round one are Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels. The under 4.5 right now is anywhere from +154 to +170. I have already bet this in the Betting Pros app. I'm just going to take advantage of all the noise and stuff out there, Thor. We've talked about this. Just every time that we've turned on the mics, we do not think Bo Nix and Michael Penix are first round prospects. I don't think that with all this smoke and fire and whatever else that they go first round. I know everybody's mocking Bo Nix. I get it, but you're going to give me plus money on fading the narratives. I've already bet it, dude. What about you?
Yeah, I've been mocking Bo Nix all spring too. It's just not that kind of mock.
The setup for the dad joke, I didn't see it coming. I got me.
Sorry. But But no, yeah, no, I'm on the under 4.5. We see this every single spring with the guy, the quarterback who is outside the first round range, who starts to get the, oh, he's going to go in the first round and his floor is here and this team's going to take him if he's there. Last year it was Hendon Hooker. And I mean, people can go back and watch our shows, and they can watch the mock draft episodes we did last year at this time.
Both of us scoffed at that.
There was so much eye rolling. My yep. skull eventually was like, stop it. Your eyeballs can't come up here again. And Hendon Hooker is, well, I mean, Bo Nix would be in that phylum for me. Michael Penix is a bit above that. He would be the one guy. But like, even with Michael Penix, I don't know. If you're going to give me plus 175, absolutely. I'm taking that all day. When this thing opened at minus 130, that's closer. It's closer to the acceptable, you know, what I think the fair odds should be. Although to me, frankly, I think it should be more like minus 150. I think the odds probably should have gone the other way, but people need to keep in mind how do I say this? The markets, you know, for instance, in the fall, I do college football betting. The markets with that, it's a lot sharper in terms of the people that are moving the lines. When you see sharp line movement, a lot of times there's stuff behind it, whether they have intel, whether it's a model they have that's showing value on one side, something legitimate. The draft prop market is not that at all. It's just people throwing money around. You know, there will be media reports where then it changes the odds. There is the thing of Malik Nabers looking for houses in California, and then all of a sudden his odds to the Chargers change. Like,
it's anything, people just chasing social media and the news, man. That's all it is.
It is, yeah. And then they'll buy tickets, and then the odds move. Like, the sports books are just trying to get half of the action on either side. So they're responding on each side of it. But when a media report comes down that suggests something, or when a popular mock drafter puts something out, then all of a sudden there's going to be a bunch of money one way, and it creates opportunity in the marketplace. And this is one of them. It's popular for people in their mock drafts to slide in that fifth quarterback. Some of them, this really draws the eye rolls from Thor, where they put in the six quarterbacks in the first. It's like, come on, man, give me a break. You think both Penix and Nix are going to go in the first round? Get out of here. But yeah, it's a conviction thing. You know, I mean, none of these teams are going to are calling up Thor, or they're not calling up anyone else. They're not calling Jeremiah or Kuiper or anyone and saying, hey, we're going to take Michael Penix at, you know, blank, whatever. It's a conviction thing. And I don't think that those guys are first round talent, certainly not Nix. Penix is the only one that you could even come close to arguing for, but that's a guy that should be going in the second round. If you're going to give me nearly 2-1, I'll take that every day on the under 4.5.
Yeah, man, I'm totally with you. I think there's opportunity, and there's value there. And speaking of opportunity and value, man, you got to be heading to realitysportsonline.com. I know that people we talked about this in spades, but we got to bring it up here again. The powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy teams like an NFL GM. The question is, have you tried it? You got to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, a first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and so much more. It's not complicated at all. It just takes another layer of strategy. If you think you're among the fantasy elite, go try it out today with a free mock free agency auction. Test out those GM skills. Use the promo code FANTASYPROS to get a 10% discount on your team league today. The promo code FANTASYPROS to get a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Speaking of real things, baby, we got to be making some real bets, Thor, on the first defensive player drafted. Right now, Dallas Turner is the heavy, juiced favorite, minus 110. And I say heavy because everybody else is at plus money, baby. We got Latu at plus 350. We got Jared Verse at plus 450. The two bets that stand out to me, man, are Leatu Latu at plus 350. Although I will say this opened at plus 2,500. So, oh, we missed a betting opportunity there, Thor. But the guy that screams off the board for me with this bet is Quinyon Mitchell at plus 1,000. I'm just going to lay this out for how this can go. Chicago taking Caleb. Washington goes QB. New England goes QB. Arizona goes Harrison. Chargers either trade back, go QB, offensive line, wide receiver, pick your flavor. The Giants, the same. Tennessee takes offensive line or trades back. Atlanta, let's go, baby. Give AJ Terrell a running mate for the years to come. My favorite bet on this one is Quinyon at plus 1,000. You can get that over on DK right now. Thor, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, when I got done with the edge rushers, my work on that, you'll recall this, D-Bro, I called you and I... You know, I watch Alabama live, but you don't want to, you know, from that.
You talked about how much you love Dallas Turner. I remember this conversation very, very emphatically.
Yeah, that's not how it went. you know, you watch it during the regular season, and you don't want to take away too many opinions from that. But then, you know, you watch the cut-ups, and I liked him less the more that I watch. I got to be honest. The athletic testing profile is great. And he's got the long ropey arms and that stuff's great. And he has the flash plays on film. And sometimes you see this stuff working in conjunction. He has a very good long arm move in conjunction with the long arms, but not a lot of other moves outside of, you know, he runs around the offensive tackles way too often for my liking. Tries to leverage the athleticism against those, what was the SEC tackles there. I don't know how that goes to the NFL. I think it's going to be a rockier acclimation for Dallas Turner, an undersized coming downhill type edge defender. for me, if you're going to be drafting a dude on the pass rushing utility, it's clearly Latu. If your medical team is comfortable enough with the medicals on Latu, and that's been the only question. Latu would have been my edge one with a bullet from the get if there wasn't that medical thing. And this is the tough thing about doing a job like this is we don't get access to that. We don't. Like, the public doesn't, and of course the media does, because if the media did, then the public would too. But, you know, because of that, you have to sort of extrapolate and hear whispers and who do you trust and all that sort of stuff. The movement in this market would suggest that, optimistic news about that. Certainly, Latu's process has gone well. If indeed he has been cleared on that, he is absolutely in play to be the first defender. In fact, I go as far as to say, if we knew that Latu's body was not going to betray him or his career was not going to get cut short at the next level, he absolutely should be the first defender off the board. The only question is the injury. He has all the athleticism that you want. And the production profile is absolutely ludicrous. Go back and look at the last 2 years, his sacks and pressures per pass rushing snap. It's insane. It will blow your mind. And it's both the athleticism and the fluidity is what really jumped. You know, like, he has the high octane athleticism, but the when we saw him down at Mobile, D-Bro,
he's so just, damn polished, dude. He's just so polished, polished and
so smooth. Like, all the movements, it's just so smooth.
He's like a freaking Swiss Army knife. He's like, you need the magnifying glass? You need the scissors? Oh, you need the tiny knife. He's got all the different bags of tricks in his pass rush repertoire, man.
Oh, every single one. And a hustle guy, a great teammate. I think I've told this story on a, but I don't think I've told it on this one. But when we were down there on a rep, Gabe Hall, the interior defensive lineman from Baylor, a big guy on the inside, you know, he's like 6'5", 300. He chased down a running back to the sideline where it was like he funneled him to the outside. And then the running back on this play in the team drills ended up having to run out of bounds. And Latu, and it was closer to the sidelines where D-Bro and I were sitting. Latu runs over to him, and you could hear him all around the stadium. Gabe, great job, Gabe. Awesome hustle, Gabe. Great job. He's one of those guys. He's like the guy who is always encouraging and pointing out and celebrating the hustle and the small things of his teammates, because he's one of the guys that does that. He ingratiated himself to his teammates at UCLA for that reason. The coaches are going to love him at the NFL level. Again, it just comes down to the medicals, which is the one unknowable thing. Obviously, you know, we missed the boat at the 2500. But, you know, at 3.5 to 1, I still believe that there's a little bit of value there. Again, it just comes down to the medicals. The other, you mentioned Quinyon, D-Bro, for sure. That one's just, is it going to, you know, would the cornerback be the first position? We talked about the first cornerback off the board before. I believe it will be Quinyon. So, I mean, you can do the math on which team's going to be going first. If they could end up taking a cornerback, you know, be it the Falcons, D-Bro, you were talking about, but at 10 to 1, that seems like really, much. Really, really good, a really good price, especially yes, to sir. Fade Dallas Turner, who should not be a minus 110, in my opinion. The other one, D-Bro, a little bit longer shot, Byron Murphy at 11 to 1. Mm. Byron Murphy, D-Bro, one of those guys who it's like every week he just goes in the, like in the consensus, it's like a little bit up, 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 little bit up.
Barely.
He just keeps going and going. And so I do believe he is the best interior defensive lineman in this class. And I do understand why he grew on me the more that I watch him as well. He gives you the penetration out of the three technique on the interior, the gap shooting stuff. But what I appreciated more is, in contrast to a lot of guys like that, in run defense, he's not just looking to shirk people and shoot gaps, lose his gap integrity when he doesn't win that way. He'll stay in that gap, keep the gap integrity, keep leverage, and it's really difficult to move him when he plants his legs and then gets under your pads. I really like him for that reason. It's sort of a two-way guy in terms of that, a rarity for one of those pass rushing interior three technique guys. And the other thing, the other point I make about Murphy is the defensive interior class. People got to keep in mind, it starts to drop pretty quick after Murphy and Newton. So
especially with all offensive tackle, the field deeper stuff with Sweat too. I would say that
that too.
It's made the gap think Sweat's even farther in for a fall. Yeah, so I agree.
Sweat's going to be our fall guy. Sweat, you know, before maybe maybe mid-second round, a little bit higher. You know, it would have been the fringes of around 40, 45. But, yeah, I do think he's going to fall into round three now. And who knows? Yeah. I mean, depending on how seriously people take that off-field thing, the questions he has to answer about that could even fall into the top of day three. So that's a great point, D-Bro, because it knocks out another guy potentially that you could have looked at as an immediate starter.
You just whittled
starter.
It down, and you made the market for that position even more scarce. So you could see teams being aggressive. Like, I can make you an easy case that Murphy or Latu could go to Tennessee, Atlanta, or Chicago, and being the first guy off the board. Like, Tennessee's got pass rush and they got defensive tackles, but some of those guys, like, looking at contract situations, looking at age and things like that, like, I'm not telling you Tennessee's pass rush is bad. That would be the spot where I would be betting Latu or Murphy, because they could use help at those spots where they've already kind of shored up corner and a few other needs. So if Tennessee doesn't go offensive line like everybody's projecting, I could see Tennessee going with an edge or a defensive tackle, and it's not crazy, Thor.
ESPN bet Dallas Turner is minus 150 for this. But I can't get over it. Like, Dallas Turner, again, 6'2", 6'8", 247 pounds with an 80th percentile athletic score. He's never had a PFF grade over 82, and he's over 81.7, and he's a downhill rusher guy. Last year, his pass rushing grade was 73.6. Latu's was 91 flat. Like, and again, like, I get it with Turner. You know, he did have the 55 pressures last year, 11 sacks. I get it. But to me, the utility, it's just a bit, one-sided with Turner. And he needs to work on that technique. He needs to have other stuff off that long arm. And I wonder if it's the play strength is the reason that he shirks going up against those offensive tackles. And then you wonder, going to the next level, is that going to be an issue when you have to be tangoing with those guys every single time? He needs more tools in the toolbox. We'll see if the media clearly disagrees with me. You know, Turner's been like the edge one. And we'll see on draft day. But yeah, if Latu's medicals are fine, he would for sure be above it. I also have Jared Verse above Dallas Turner. I don't think that Verse will be the first defender off the board, but his odds are, for anyone interested, is 450-1. But I mean, like, you know, another possibility in terms of that.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. I would say I'd be betting Verse if we had his odds a little bit higher, like, probably like plus 600, plus 700. I think you could interest me in that, like maybe a small smattering, but even that, I probably would, in a perfect world to really lay some coin on it, I'd want Verse like plus 900 or plus 1,000 like Quinyon. But moving over to the draft position prop, so looking at where guys could go over or under a certain pick number, dude, this first one kind of sticks out to me. Brock Bowers at 11.5. The under on the 11.5. So basically saying the Jets or whoever makes a trade with Minnesota at 11. So I'm looking at you, Los Angeles Chargers. One of those teams takes Brock Bowers. The under on 11.5, we're getting plus money at in some books, like plus 165. Yeah, buddy, you can interest me in that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I'd probably be with that as well. The odds on that one have really, you know, of course, it opened at 10.5.
Yeah, it opened at heavy juice on under 10.5.
10.5.
And now we're moving? Like, what's changed with that, Thor?
Well,
like,
we have gotten the one extra slot, you know, to so for the trade down possibility, right? But But even so, the other thing that changed the odds was there was some reports out of New York that they could be looking at offensive line, that maybe they weren't, that Brock Bowers wasn't the fixed outcome that some people were, had thought before. But you just have to think, when they're on the clock, Aaron Rodgers is around there. And then thinking about the team and the window that they have right now, Bowers would be an enormous upgrade at two different spots there. They need a pass catching tight end, and they also need a starting slot, both. However you want to look at Bowers, plenty of utility for a team like that. And in the final years of Rodgers' career, I think with it being the 11 and a half, with getting the 165, I get the risk on this one because he could fall down. He could fall into the teens, absolutely. But if you're getting the plus 165 and you get that extra slot, I think there's enough value to justify an underbet there.
Yeah, I do too. And the other thing we haven't even talked about is, what if you have a team like, we're talking about the Minnesota draft spot, what if you have the Chargers, if they don't select him, what if another team comes up and gets him? Like, we've heard a lot of people like wanting to mock him to Indy. Indy's right there in striking distance, dude. They're at 15. So I don't think it's also insane, like, playing the range of outcomes here. You've got a lot of outs with getting the extra slot. Like, if this was 10 and a half, then I would disagree with it. Then I wouldn't be betting this, but plus odds, and we got the pick moved up a little bit. So you get two outs right there, and you get the out if some team like Indy wants to go from 15 to 11 and take him. You're still getting the under bet there, dude. All right, moving over to the next one, man. Tarion Arnold, the under at 16.5, you can get plus money at plus 115 on some books. I'm in on that, throwing a little bit of coin at that. What are your thoughts on there? I just think we have outs for Tarion Arnold. Like, Indy has corner needs. Denver could take him. And then we're talking about Quinyon. If he goes top 10, top 11, then, yeah, Tarion Arnold, again, talking about scarcity with these guys, cornerback, he could be the next guy. And I'm not saying, like, I wish the odds were a little bit higher on this, but what are your thoughts on Tarion Arnold?
Yeah, Quinyon is definitely going to go above that. So that sort of window there is where this bet comes into play for Tarion. Is he going to go in that, 10 to, 16 range? I think that it's not my favorite one on the board, but I could see sprinkling a little bit on the under of this, getting the plus 115 juice.
And speaking of Quinyon, again, if you're making a very pro Quinyon case, or you're trying to hedge some of these other corners, I do like the action on him as far as like the under on 13.5. Again, yes. Talking about if he goes to Atlanta, he goes to a few of these other teams that have corner needs, the under 13.5, you can get plus money on some books at plus 120. I kind of hopped over Nate Wiggins cause I really don't care. Like, 26.5, it's minus odds on both sides. I'm just not betting that. But what are your thoughts on Quinyon?
Quinyon, that's a bet for me, yes. At the under 13.5, especially getting the plus odds, I think that there's real value there. That's my favorite so far that we've gone over. Wiggins, that's right on the line. That's a fair price. You could see him going, within a 3-4 band outcome above that. You could see him going within a 3-4 band outcome beneath that. But that is right in play with where he's going to go. So that would be a stay away.
Yeah, and pretty much I'm staying away from the next two bets too. Like Leatu Latu, his under at 18.5. Again, we've talked about him. Is at minus 115. If you wanted to bet the over, but I would not be betting that at 18.5. You can get plus money on that. I'm staying away from that because our position is we think he's underrated, probably goes a little bit higher than people think. Same thing with Joe Alt, the under 7.5 is at minus 250. What are your thoughts? Any on Latu or Alt?
Yeah, my thoughts on these, on both Latu and Alt, are if you want to bet, like if you're bullish on those guys, there's better odds in the slot market for Alt. For instance, at the 5-1, we talked about that earlier, where you get nearly 5-1 on him. That's where I would go, as opposed to, if you go under 7.5, it's minus 250. To me, that's it's almost cost prohibitive to play that. I would more with him either go with a specific slot or a specific team so you can get it juiced, because there's not a ton of possibilities, obviously, when you're talking top seven. It's only seven options, and the top three teams are already out. So it's limited ones. With Latu, I'm if you want to bet on him, as opposed to doing the slot one here, where again you have to pay the juice on the other side, I would do the you know, take a shot on whether it's first defender or whatever. If they had modified slot ones where you could toggle it and then you could get the bigger juice, I would do that with Latu, because again, going back to it, the one unknowable with him, it's the medicals. If the medicals are cleared, that's where he becomes in play to go anywhere, you know, top around the top 10 or right outside of it, and where he could be in play to be the first defender off the board. But it's unknowable. If teams got bad reports on that, then it could go the other way. That's why I would prefer to do the long, wet my beak on a long shot bet with Latu, as opposed to, you know, a bet like this.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. And just moving down the board, I think for me, just moving up the board, I want to highlight a few of the ones that stick out to me, because a lot of these are non-bets for me. Brian Thomas under 16.5 at +140. I'm in on that. My last mock, I gave him the Indy at 15. I think it's a very, very realistic landing spot, as well as I think that it's in play for one of these teams. I'm looking at you, Buffalo, to possibly trade up and go after Brian Thomas. Looking at anything else, I do think, and I'm not betting this, but I think it's very interesting and telling of the QB market and stuff. Anybody betting that over 4.5, Michael Penix is his over 32.5. So basically saying that he's not a first round pick is -190. So again, look where you're placing your money, people. But for me, I mean, look, the only standout bet left is the Brian Thomas bet at the plus money. Really, the rest of these, a lot of these are stay away. But anything else left on the board interest you right now, Thor? And what are your thoughts on Brian Thomas?
The Brian Thomas one's interesting because, yeah, I do think that one comes down to Indy. And with Indy, it's the three-dimensional chess of what on day two, which receiver is going to be there? What's the difference between him and, say, Brian Thomas? And then the other position, let's say cornerback, right? Let's say it's Terrion Arnold. What's the difference between Terrion Arnold and then when our next pick on day two? And what's the discrepancy between the two? So you're playing some three-dimensional chess there. That's where they could end up deferring off of Brian Thomas. But I think Brian Thomas is such a good fit for them. The deep ball guy with Anthony Richardson, it's sort of perfect. And then you get the spacing for Downs and Pittman and the run game, everything like that. But that's what it comes down to. So I'd be okay with that one. Not my favorite bet on the board, because I could see that one going either way, but I wouldn't argue against that one at all. I'm definitely, you mentioned, I'm fading Penix, fading Knicks at the odds that they're at. Knicks has 26.5. Get out of here. Definitely going over on those ones. Just perusing a couple of these other ones. I think you could probably comfortably bet the over on Jackson Powers Johnson at 32.5. There, you know, earlier this process, there was a lot of enthusiasm for him. But there's been a lot of reports recently that looks like he's going to get pushed out of the first round. So I think that you could bet that one. JJ McCarthy at the 5.5. We have our bets on McCarthy in our portfolio at more juiced odds than that one. So I'd probably stay away from that one. Personally, for me, if you want to go a bit of a longer shot one that I like a little bit more, Tyler Guyton at over 29.5. Some people like Tyler Guyton more than me. To me, he's a second round guy. You know, will a team take a shot on him in the late first? Yeah, maybe the physical tools are really good. I definitely get it. But people need to keep in mind, again, the offensive tackle class is friggin' stacked, and it's stacked into day two. Why are you going, like, in a regular tackle class, that kind of guy, that's when he gets reached on in the first round. I don't understand. Like in this one, I don't understand why you would do that when you can get a guy like Patrick Paul in the mid to late second round to come in and play immediately. You're going to reach on Tyler Guyton a round before that. that at 29.5, you can get on the over, you can get plus 230 at Caesars on the over at Tyler Guyton, getting better than 2-1. I will definitely take that. The other one I was going to say was Chop Robinson over 26.5. I like Chop. I do. The pass rush, especially in the pressure rate, everything like that. However, very short arms. And he's not good in run defense either. And the short arms thing, it manifests in a couple different ways, even beyond the obvious ones that are statistical. He had a big missed tackle rate, which I think is in part attributable to the tackle radius. And then the other thing, the past couple of years, he had the bizarre thing where the pressure rates were always insane, but the sacks weren't there with it. And you could argue a little bit, having a little bit of a smaller fisher net to catch the fish is one of the reasons that they're getting off the line. So again, I like the ability to generate the pressure and the athleticism, but to me, that's a guy that profiles generally as a guy that goes at the top of the second, as opposed to the late first. And at 26.5, I'm going over on that one.
I can definitely get down with that. My favorite bet, and the more that I've thought about this that you mentioned, was the Guyton over 29.5. And I just think, like, with that bet, dude, like, you're just making a bet that, okay, Green Bay or Dallas, who both have offensive line needs, go with Barton or Morgan or Mims or some combination of that. And then we have teams at the end of the first round taking tackles. Like, Baltimore needs a right tackle. San Fran, Kansas City, all of them need tackles. So all you're doing is saying, okay, Guyton makes it into the first round, but he goes over and he goes to Baltimore, San Fran, or KC. At plus money? Oh, baby. I'm so in on that. I'm adding that to the betting card, man. But look, this has been our NFL draft betting preview with Thor and I. Again, go check out the Betting Pros app. You need, and all the odds, again, that we talked about on this entire show can be found at bettingpros.com/draft odds. Get into the prop pick challenge. Again, download the Betting Pros app, go to bettingpros.com/draft, click the button, join the group. You need 5 bets minimum to enter. Thor and I will be back next week to dive further and further into this NFL draft class, the closer we get to being live on YouTube for day 1 and day 2. Until then, we're out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok @FantasyPros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.